Good afternoon. Today is Monday, June the 25th, 178th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, Mr. Andy Ganz from Security National.
Hi, Brian.
Yeah, it's the speaking time now.
Yeah, it is.
Stay away from the picture books. Anything particular going on you want to talk about, or is it fair game for the host?
Fair game for the host.
Oh, very cool. Very cool. Okay, I'll load up and we'll start firing when we come back.
Okay.
I'm Jim Mongi, principal of St. Mary's Catholic School and Preschool. Our preschool program is designed to teach and model basic educational and social skills that children will need for success in kindergarten. Students learn about numbers, shapes, and colors. They begin pre-reading and writing. They develop problem-solving and sharing skills. They learn that school is fun. St. Mary's Preschool provides the foundation for a lifetime of learning. Give us a call today at 822-3877, license number 125-401-910.
Good afternoon, KINS. News and Information Times, 313. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Randy Ganz. But before we do, our quote this afternoon comes from Rote Arzenbaum. Arzenbaum, where'd I get that? Art Rosenbaum. Arzenbaum, not even close. Golf is a game in which the ball lies poorly and the players play well.
If you're playing well, you shouldn't have a poor lie.
Yeah. Oh, my. Randy, a lot of time we hear things about infrastructure. And if it's the government types, okay, we get it. You know, sidewalks, roads, utilities. Yeah, power lines.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff. As a developer, when you guys are looking at either a potential property or an existing property, do you look at the infrastructure that that particular piece can handle? Do you look at whether or not it even exists, the condition of it? Is that all part of the process when you guys do your due diligence on a potential purchase?
Well, it depends on what kind of property you're looking at. If it's an industrial property, infrastructure is huge. You got to have it. You got to have good highways. You got to have good railroads. You got to have, you know, water access. There's, you know, so many things that make an industrial property work. You know, if you're looking at a piece of rural, you know, timberland subdivision, you're looking at, you know, basic things, county roads and, you know, access to them, but not nearly as important as it would be in another area. You know, as far as, you know, retail, commercial properties, you're always looking at infrastructure, you know, to make sure that you have sufficient road systems to handle, you know, traffic. You know, is it a desirable place for, you know, a customer to come to? It's all goes into, you know, they all have their different sets of requirements, but infrastructure is always one of the most important factors. I mean, if without infrastructure, usually you don't have an area that doesn't have a very vibrant economy.
When you were having to do the infrastructure components for the Marina Center project, I think that was the first time that a lot of the community had a look-see and say, okay, road isn't necessarily a road. So you got three lanes coming in or two lanes coming in. Great. But if the traffic suddenly doubles, as it has done over the last 20 years, say on Broadway, things should change. Now, because that particular project, you guys are looking at it, okay, you're going to see more foot traffic, or what do you call cars? Car traffic?
Yeah, it's just basically average daily traffic counts.
Okay, the traffic count going up.
Yeah.
And Caltrans not doing anything on Broadway or on 4th or 5th to handle this increase that's happened over the last 20 years. As a developer, does that fall on your shoulders to have to
make
some allowances?
You know, I mean, on the balloon track, fortunately, it's from a traffic standpoint, yeah, Broadway is congested. It hasn't doubled, you know,
well,
but it's gone up.
Since we were
it's gone
head
up.
Air and we're
yeah.
looking young.
No, it's, I still got mine. Anyway.
No, you're the gray guy.
Yeah, I'm just getting grayer. The traffic hasn't doubled, but it has become more congested as you've seen Broadway get more and more developed. They've got a lot of different curb cuts and that type of stuff. So there is stuff to do there. But you also got Waterfront Drive, which is underutilized in that portion. So there was a lot of things we could do on that particular property with the existing road infrastructure that makes it work. You know, Caltrans was very involved in that project, and I think we came up with a solution that will actually help traffic on Broadway, because you'll divert more of that traffic to the underutilized roads.
How do you know that?
How do you know that?
I'm not being facetious. They do modeling.
I mean, essentially, they know, you know, through the, you hire a traffic consultant, and once when they do the modeling, you know, when they figure out that there are certain time periods of you know, constraints on travel, where a driver will systematically choose an alternative route if the traffic levels get to, you know, a certain time frame. If it takes you 10 minutes to go two blocks on one street rather than, you know, 2 seconds, you know,
it's a hassle factor.
People will figure it out. Your traffic will migrate to, you know, different routes. So the waterfront drive was, you know, where you've got right now, you have no access, no connectivity between 4th and 5th to waterfront. Well, we immediately proposed to put a connecting route from 4th into waterfront, going right through the property. Now you have a secondary access point into Costco and some of those other high traffic areas there for the industrial trucks coming south, you know, to Midbauer, the docks, because now they're no longer having to take that left turn, go up Broadway and take a right turn off of Broadway onto Washington, Del Norte, and all that. So, I mean, there's lots of little things like that. Another thing that, you know, that was important was traffic signal. I mean, those signals, traffic signals, you know, on 4th and 5th Street are synchronized. The ones, you know, going down South Broadway through the mall, they're not synchronized. So there's lots of little improvements. But as far as the property, the road structure is there. We have to pay our proportionate share, though, to increase the capacity of those roads. So if they figure that future traffic will increase by 3% or 5% or 10% on Broadway, we have, and it'll take these traffic mitigation programs, we got to pay 10% of those fees to help keep that traffic flowing.
KINS, News and Information Times, 319. We'll be back with more from Randy Gans.
Hi, this is Eric from Northwood Chevrolet Hyundai. You know, I think a lot of people forget that we have a great selection of used cars available. We might not have the inventory that some of the larger dealerships do, but I know our quality used cars stack up against anybody else's in the county. Plus the fact, if we don't have something on our lot, come on in, see us, and we can probably find it for you. We have a quality selection of some very nice used cars, what most people were looking for. But again, if we don't have it on our lot, we can probably find it for you at Northwood Chevrolet Hyundai.
Hi, my name is Mark Diaz from Northwood Hyundai, and I invite you to come down. We're open from 8:30 in the morning till 6 o'clock at night for your shopping convenience. Closed Sundays to be with family. And as my dad used to say, don't bring much money. You won't need it. That's Northwood Hyundai, 7th and D, Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 324. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Randy Gans. Randy, infrastructure itself, we were talking a little bit about infrastructure before the break. As you start doing the models in the various programs that the Whiz Bang Boys have got, and I would imagine most of them are accurate enough, because there seems to be consensus with agreement. But there still has got to be a fudge factor in there somewhere. I think of the state lottery, pick your state, doesn't matter, and how much more money this was going to bring into the state coffers for education and kids.
Well, that's just, we could go into the tax.
The shell game.
You know, I don't see how California is going to pull it off. They're going to raise taxes. All they're going to do is push people out. I don't see a positive gain there.
But when the lottery came in 15, 20 years ago, that was how it was sold. Syntax, you know, cigarettes or alcohol or whatever. That's going to raise X number. And they always miss the mark because it becomes too pricey then for certain people to play. The market constricts rather than stays as a constant. Revenues aren't there. Oops, we missed our mark again.
Yeah.
So taking modeling now to infrastructure and traffic flow, is that model more accurate?
Say that again. I'm trying to
the model that you guys use for traffic flow studies.
Right.
And that everybody agrees on, are those more accurate than some of these other models that are in place for budget? Because I would suggest that if it gets to a certain point and it's just too much of a hassle, you don't have to worry about me turning left to right.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be there.
No. You know, traffic modeling, they're pretty scientific because fortunately they get to do it every day and they get to see which ones work and which don't. I mean, think about all the roadways and major, you know, highway projects in California they've had to use as test theories. Essentially, they get to a point where, like you said, where there's a tipping point where they're saying there's too much traffic. They call them levels of service. And if this is if Caltrans has a level of service F, or, you know, they even go to, you know, G or whatever, it's crazy. If they get to those higher levels of service, they immediately know that that's unacceptable, and then the model will fail. You know, I mean, so when you get to those. These traffic modeling plans are all based on, you know, what they see as anticipated growth, what they know the capacities are of the existing infrastructure, what their alternative routes are. You know, they have, you know, I mean, it took us 4 years to do our traffic plans. You know, and that was just traffic. You know, I mean, it's you know, planning is not abstract. You've got to be very detail oriented and stick with the process. You know, it's just, you know, right now we're having this issue with this general plan. You know, they haven't been, you know, sticking with the process. It seems like they're just kind of melding a bunch of things. They didn't have a housing element that worked. You know, well, how do you do a traffic modeling, you know, for the county's general plan when you don't even know where your houses are going to be built? I mean, the other day the supervisors, you know, in their public hearing were trying to go from, you know, they're taking this existing general plan that they've had all this controversy, spent all this money, 10 years, different politics, and they're saying, well, we want to get to a short list of problems. Well, there's a long list of problems. You can't.
Well, you know how you get to a short list from a long list. You take care of them, right?
Well, you try.
Yeah.
I don't know how they're going to get there, you know, without essentially going back to square one now that they have, well, they still don't have a housing element approved. So
would that be better from your perspective to go back to step one, start all over?
Well, I mean, right now I think they were too ambitious. They have, like, you know, I think they went 26 different elements. I think the previous general plan had, like, I don't know, 12 to 14 general elements, you know, and they've increased it tenfold, and then they have policies for all those new elements, and they intertwine with the old elements. I mean, I think they made it far too complicated, you know, to actually for it to hold water and make sense. I mean, I think it's too conflicted. There wasn't enough. I mean, the politics was, you know, infill development, protect our ag lands and stuff. You can do all of those measures without introducing a whole bunch of new ordinances, which is what they seem to be trying to do to restrict development or whatever.
So it becomes more litigious.
Oh, it's going to be, it's a mess.
Does it need to be?
You know, general plans aren't easy. But, you know, the way that this has gone, been handled, you know, with all these new, you know, elements to the general plan and, you know, reaching, you know, into merging properties, taking away development rights, you know, promoting infill development. I mean, they try to do it through ordinances rather than programs. I think that you can get to a much quicker end if you give you have landowner incentives, like, you know, the Williamson Act has worked, done wonders. Timber Preserve Program's done wonders. You know, you've got, if you want to promote infill development, give the developers incentives to do infill development, you know. Make it easier for them.
That would be the big juicy carrot.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. KINS, News and Information Time, is 3:30.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. We think of the Coast Guard as being gallant lifesavers, and they are. However, there's another side of the Coast Guard, faceless bureaucrats far away. 3 years ago, one wrote to the Humboldt County Fair Association to say they wanted back the Mendocino Lighthouse lens that's been atop the county fair's main entrance for 63 years. The fair offered to build a new building for the lens. A citizen group, Save Our Lens, began to raise money. Then the Ferndale Museum offered to give the lens a new home. Most letters to the Coast Guard have gone unanswered. 2 weeks ago, though, in an undated letter, the Coast Guard warned Ferndale it would soon send a lampist to begin removing the lens. They didn't say when he'd arrive or give his name, but we think it's Grinch. In Rome 2,000 years ago, the famous orator Cicero spoke of the arrogance of officialdom. If he were here today, he'd put those Coast Guard bureaucrats in that category. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people and places that make this a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:36. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Randy Gans. Randy, what is the significant differences that you see between infrastructures and capacities? I mean, we got general plans, and, you know, when they're in place, okay, we got this big foo-foo document that everybody can build to. But when you're looking at either a project, a community, a potential something or another, infrastructure versus capacity, what takes higher priority?
Well, the infrastructure is supposed to expand capacity. So, you know, I mean, if you're at capacity, you can't expand any more of your infrastructure to you know, increase capacity, you're done. You know, I mean, it's, yeah, I just don't see how those two equate. Okay. You can either, once you're at capacity, you're full. You know, you either got to figure out ways to get more efficient and expand your capacities.
Or you expand your infrastructure.
Well, no,
you've got... So when you look at the general plan and you're looking at a community and infrastructure, whether it's water or sewer or transportation of one form or another, I would suggest that you're looking at the infrastructure if it, as it is today. If it can't move, if it can't expand, you're dead meat. How are you going to increase the efficiencies of traffic volume? It's pretty tough, you know, unless you're in an area where you, well, all of a sudden public transit comes
in.
Well, no.
I mean, usually when you get to that kind of log jam, you know, your economies of scale would enable you to do, you know, something like BART or, you know, what they did in...
Like a Santa Rosa?
Yeah, they're getting there. You know, I mean, they've expanded their highways pretty significantly. Now they're looking at, you know, more public transit options, you know, the rail options, you know, on the NCRA, you know, right away where they're sharing it. So, I mean, that's why infrastructure is so important to economy. You cannot give away any expansion, you know, opportunities you have. No one knows what could potentially happen in the future to our transportation systems. You know, I mean, you know, diesel may get so expensive that it becomes too cost prohibitive to truck stuff out of our local economy of Humboldt. I mean, we've got to keep all our options open. You know, we've got to get our highways more efficient. We've got to keep, you know, our port options available. I mean, a railway is important. I mean, that's not a blip in the radar. That's a game changer for Humboldt County. I mean, and Northern California. I mean, I know everybody's... I mean, the Journal wrote this article about, you know, we need to stop this nonsense, this and that. But I didn't see anybody with any qualifications in that whole article have a comment. You know, I mean, oh, well, what's... You know, the thing is we don't know. We need to see what's feasible and what's not. We need to understand what the cost is to expand our infrastructure. What's the most cost-efficient route for us to be competitive, you know, in Humboldt County to grow our economy? Northern California has the same issues, you know. I mean, you've got a north-south rail line, but the action goes east-west. I mean, do you know, I mean, Tehama County, Trinity County, Shasta County, all these counties in the east see the value of that. I mean, it literally could be billions and billions of dollars in investment, you know, in those areas if we have an efficient thing. I mean, they're expanding the Panama Canal to get to the east coast. You know, but still the most efficient way to move goods is on rail. I mean, so why ever, you know, downplay an opportunity like that? We don't know yet. Let's see what's, if it's real, and go from there.
When you hear the phrase rails to trails, do you get warm fuzzy?
Well, I guess it would matter, you know, what kind of scenario it is. I mean, I think...
Well, it seems to be rather trendy in Humboldt County right now to talk about the rails, the trails, yeah. You know, the old Annie and Mary line. Oh, it's got this. And we do. There seems to be an awful lot of pressure towards it, but that would seem to run counter to the argument you just
well,
made.
Well, like, for example, I mean, you know, on the balloon track, you know, we see, you know, that property is being zoned for commercial service, office. There's a lot of value in a public trail there. But the way we designed that project was for rails with trails. You know, they're both valuable. Trails are an amenity. You know, they make your quality of life better, but they're not going to be a huge economic game changer for our area. We would never propose to abandon that rail corridor if there's any potential that it'd be viable in the future. I mean, you know, that type of infrastructure, rail, is a game changer. It stimulates...
Flat out end of story.
Yeah, it is. It's a big deal. If you have an efficient connection to the national rail system on, you know, modern routes, you know, at efficiencies of cost, I mean, it's the investment that would be in our area would be astounding, you know, and the new job creation would be astounding. You got so many things.
Is the I-5 corridor, I mean, we see it because we're driving in it.
Yeah.
Is that one of those efficient lines to tap into?
The I-5, you're not talking about tapping into the I-5 corridor.
For the rail line.
We already are making progress for truck transportation to do that with the 299, you know, work that's going on. Yeah, the Buckhorn Summit, you know, project. I mean, they're Justin and Mercer Fraser, they're working on it right now. I mean, that's a great, great point of progress. You know, that's good. That makes us more efficient on the truck capacities. But, you know, I mean, rail's by far the most efficient, and it would literally stimulate billions of dollars in investment in our area. But you know what? The thing I'm getting back to is it's not an either-or scenario. It's you know, let's keep our options open. Let's see how we do best. What if we did have a rail, you know, a trail in the rail right away? You know, great. We think that's great. But what happens if the freight train comes back? Where's the trail going to go? You know, I mean, you need to look at all of these things.
About 30 feet to the right?
It could, you know, but is that feasible? I mean, you know, or are you
except
better
where
off,
the cliff is.
You know. Or are you better off having just an alternative route for the trail that doesn't have anything to do with the rail, you know, and then you're only doing it once rather than moving it twice.
Does anybody know what the breaking point is for the rail?
What do you mean breaking point?
If it costs $4 billion.
That's you know, people try to ask people that. The thing is we don't know. We need to understand, you know, we need to see if it's feasible. We need to have more studies done. Capacity wise, you know, I've been to several ports, I mean, that do log exports. You know, one that is just setting the world on fire is Grays Harbor. They've had hundreds of millions of dollars of investment in their port because they have an east-west link to a national rail system.
Any reason why that couldn't happen here?
There's none. If you have, I mean, we can even more so because their existing rail route is an old established one. It doesn't have the you know, same levels of service that a newer one would. But, you know, I mean, we got to look at everything, as, you know, especially with related infrastructure, you know. We want to see if it's feasible. We got to be welcoming to those opportunities. We got, you know, someone's going to have to invest some money into this. Why wouldn't we support seeing if it's a feasible option? I don't understand that.
KINS News and Information Times 3:44. We'll be back with more from Randy Gans.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
Hi, this is Craig Brown, Dean of Students and Campus Ministry at St. Bernard's Catholic School. We're praying in these days how we can create an even more definite presence of Christ in the world around us. We pray we all have an opportunity to stop the rush of this time of year to give profound thanks for the many blessings our Lord has showered on us.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:48. We're back for a final couple minutes this afternoon with Randy Gans. Randy, what is the update currently with the balloon track project? Is it, I hesitate to say, is it on timeline? Because that's
no. Is it, there is no timeline.
Is it advancing at all?
Yeah. I mean, we went from a 26-page letter from the Coastal Commission to, you know, a six. So we've answered 20 pages of questions for the Coastal Commission. We still have some general, you know, hurdles that we're trying to get through with the City of Eureka staff, and we're working on it. I mean, you know.
Let me ask a really base question. Is it a high priority?
BlinTrack? We've got a lot of money invested in it. Yeah, we want to get it done.
Okay.
It is. I mean, it's a project that will create tax revenues.
It seems like it would be.
You know, I think it is a high priority, you know, locally. I mean, come on, the property's doing nothing for this county the way it is. It needs to be developed, you know.
So is city staff assisting?
Oh, yeah, they've been great.
Okay.
They've, you know, City of Eureka staff has been great all the way through. You know, they held our feet to the fire. You know, I mean, we did a 2,700-page environmental impact report, and, you know, it's well done. I mean, but it went through the process. We did the notice of preparation. We got the public's comments. We did the studies after that. I mean,
is 26 pages of questions normal?
For a Coastal Commission one?
Yeah.
It's a little bigger than normal, but it's a bigger than normal project.
So the six pager is almost
the six pager. Yeah, it's getting there. I mean, we still have the issue with the mud puddles and the tire ruts. I mean, being classified as wetlands when they really have no wetland functions other than
are those surmountable discussion points?
Well, we're trying to get there. I mean, we think we can offer the Coastal Commission something that's far superior through, you know, enhanced wetlands that have, you know, all three of wetland functions. You know, I mean, we're working with them. We want to create better public access down there. So I think we've got a good story to tell them.
It's percolating.
Percolating.
Sorry, I tired you.
Yep.
Okay. We've been Talking Shop this afternoon with Randy Gans. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.